The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with Unpost. MyBills.ie. Help save time with bill payment online for free. Unpost. Do more.
Hello there, and a very good morning to you. Very welcome indeed to the programme this morning on a very, very cheerful day for Ireland. Anyway, Joe Schmidt, good morning to you.
Good morning. I hope you can hear me. I'm in the middle of Charles de Gaulle Airport at the moment. We're not too far away from taking our flight home.
Well, listen, first of all, congratulations to you and to all involved. I presume a little nerve-wracking for you in the last few minutes of that game yesterday.
Yeah, it was a little more than a little. It was very, very tense, and you know, we managed to just hang on by the skin of our teeth.
And in terms of the team, is it elation or relief?
Well, I certainly think post game it was elation for the team because they'd worked so hard. I think for the staff on the perimeter, it was absolutely relief because watching it unfold and the potential for it to slip away from us, you know, it was pretty tense.
Well, Tom McGurk is with us in studio this morning as part of the panel. It was nerve-wracking, wasn't it?
It was incredible. Joe's excitement at the end, that little moment on the touchline when you leapt in the air, Joe, the relief of that must have been incredible.
Yeah, it was, Tom. I'd say that, you know, after that, the kind of heartbreak of the All Black game where we were in control for so long and it slipped away from us, you know, I had a bad sense of deja vu, but thankfully it didn't actually happen.
The photographs, all of the papers today, the broadsheets, the red tops, the whole lot, have some wonderful pictures from yesterday. I don't think there was a dry eye in many a house around the country. And there is an awful lot of focus on Brian O'Driscoll. And in fairness to him, he always says it is the team, it is the team, it is the team. But he must at this stage be nearly sick and tired of having last matches, is he?
Not when they finish like that, Marion. I don't think. I think you'd love another couple as long as they finished in the same manner or in the manner it finished last weekend with a great ovation at the Aviva. So, look, I'm sure he's got some cherished memories throughout his 15-year international career, but there was a couple of special ones, really special ones, in the last 2 weeks.
There sure were, and there were for all of us as well. People were talking about yesterday about the new young players coming on and how will we ever survive without Drico. But you take the view that you move on and that you have new young players.
Well, I guess you have to because in the end, you can't keep them forever. And I think Drico is going to leave very, very big shoes to fill, and I've no doubt that there'll be a few people with smaller feet who attempt to fill them initially, but hopefully they can grow into them and
spread
and do a good job.
Stephen, you want to come in?
Congratulations, Joe. Stephen O'Byrne's here.
Stephen O'Byrne's, yeah.
I wonder, you mentioned deja vu and the All Blacks game because it really began to look like that in the closing seconds and minutes. I mean, what were your thoughts when you saw Rob Kearney saving a line out to France inside our 22 and then sending up a huge Gary Owen, which led to their disallowed try?
Yeah, you know, the players make the decisions on the field in the moment they're living. And I can't control those. All I could do is spectate like you, Stephen, and hope that it comes off and maybe get a message about how to manage that last period. I thought we managed it really, really well. I think we got a driving line out that was taken down. And I felt we were a little bit unlucky that the scrum started spinning like a top. And that made it very difficult. And so, across the board, I felt that we attempted to manage it well, but it was pretty difficult to do it.
But again, I think the shades of the All Blacks debacle and the way that they took us in at a time when the clock was already in red, that was my fear anyway in those closing 2 minutes.
I think you're not alone there, Stephen. I think there's a lot of people who had similar reservations and palpitations at that time. And I was amongst those people because it was very, very tense and very tight at the finish.
It was, for some of us who aren't as strong emotionally, it was kind of a get down behind the couch moment with sheer dread, it has to be said. What did you say to them at halftime? I mean, the French started off very, very well.
Yeah, at halftime, just we can play that would work. Tidy up, and that was really half time. We try to give the.
I don't know, Joe, if you can hear me, but we can't hear you at all. So can I reiterate and repeat? Congratulations. I know the team that you're in the airport and that you're all arriving in at 2:30, and I hope you get a great welcome when you do, because in difficult times, sport has really hauled us out of all sorts of situations. It's true, isn't it? I mean, you always say that.
Oh, well, it was extraordinary. How it spread, looking at the social media and Twitter and Facebook and all the stuff last night. I mean, I think we would have got an audience 1.2, 1.3 million.
Really?
Especially the build-up towards the end, the last 4 or 5 minutes. We got to 1.1 million for England. And traditionally, that is the biggest audience. But going for a Six Nations last night, I mean, I think everybody in the country was watching. And around the world as well. It was on BBC World. It was on Global. The global audience, they were up in Australia, New Zealand. I mean, millions and millions and millions.
Yes. Well, you know, Emma Hussey, yes, I haven't done my usual introductions because of the day that's
on
in it.
The question of, you know, what is it about sport that sometimes can revitalise a country? Elaine Byrne was watching it in Australia and I got this lovely tweet from her. It says, sport makes you believe in things that daily life grinds away at. Things like hope, possibility, heroes, inspiration and belief.
Well, Marion, you see guys doing things they wouldn't normally do, taking risks with their lives, putting their heads in their bodies, suffering physically in front of you, suffering emotionally in front of you. It's all on the line. The script is not written. You don't know. It's a great drama, but you don't know the end
of
it.
You don't know the end.
And in those last 60 seconds yesterday, that was absolutely life-changing for people's lives, you know. So you get to a level of drama and emotion I don't think you get anywhere else.
Let me go to somebody else. Eddie O'Sullivan is on the line. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning, Marion.
Where were you?
I'm in the airport in Paris, like everybody else. It's a beautiful day here. Well, it's even better than normal, obviously.
Yeah, well, now you've had your wonderful moments as well. How did you go through the thing yesterday? Did you, like half the country, nearly have a heart attack for 2 minutes?
Well, I won't need a cardiac checkup for a while after yesterday, I can tell you. We got through that one. Yeah, I had flashbacks to New Zealand, but you know, we got there in the end, and deservedly so. I mean, it would have been dreadfully disappointing, considering, like, you know, we were the better team on the day. We scored.
Well, the French were pretty good. I mean, everybody had been saying the French were so bad, but the French were pretty impressive, I thought, yesterday.
Well, they were bad, but there was always one performance in France, and at home in the last day of the championship, they were always going to pitch up. But I think that makes it all the sweeter. You know, France had played badly yesterday, and we won. You know, we'd have said, oh, bad French. But French played well yesterday and we still beat them. And that's the beauty of it. And it was a fantastic victory. And I want to add my congratulations to George Schmidt. It's a fantastic achievement in his first year as Irish coach to win a Six Nations Championship.
Absolutely.
But I think it was one of the sweetest ones in a long time.
Well, I mean, you had your sweet moments too, it has to be said. But I suppose your protégés are now moving on.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the big one is Brian leaving. I mean, I was very fortunate to have worked with Brian for a good number of years. And, I mean, we've run out of superlatives to describe what this man has achieved. And I suppose if he had to go, it was such a fitting departure yesterday. It was a great curtain call for him, the Six Nations Championship in Paris, where it all started really for him.
Yeah.
If you think about it, 14 years ago, that 3 tries he scored in Paris. And again, to finish yesterday and to finish at the top of his game, Marion, I mean, he just wasn't marking time. He had a phenomenal game again yesterday. And, you know, to bow out in that sort of form is an extraordinary achievement.
Tom?
Well, I think Eddie has to take credit too. I mean, he put in the foundation blocks. He won triple crowns. He won a nations. And they've all... I'm delighted to see you back in the game again, Eddie, because you've been missed and it's been a long and difficult journey for you, and I'm delighted to see you back. And you must take part of the satisfaction from yesterday too.
Well, I mean, I'm out of it now a few years, but I really enjoyed seeing, you know, Phyllis. who I've been with there. About half that team were involved in 09, and then there's new fresh faces again, which is great. So it shows the turnover is happening. There's some great young talent coming through, and I think there's a standard set now in Irish rugby that we just, you know, have to kick on and stay at this level. We've shown we can do it. And I think they've got a good bunch of players. I mean, we won't replace Brian O'Driscoll overnight, and we shouldn't even try. But I think there's a core of players there that can keep Ireland at the top of the game for the foreseeable future.
The wonderful thing about it, Eddie, we've always had wonderful athletes in this country, and particularly as a result, I always think of Gaelic Games, because they've wonderful ball skills and they come to rugby with those skills. But what Smith seems to have brought to them is a wonderful psychological strength, and you saw that yesterday. They were unbreakable between the ears.
Oh yeah, they were there, and I think the way they defended their line, and even Francis' second try was a dodgy try. You know, it was whether he got it down or he knocked it on. I mean, the way we defended our line for that period was extraordinary, and it just shows the mental toughness that's now in these professional players. You know, it takes a while to get there, but when you get there and you fight so hard for something, you're not going to give it up that easily. And I thought that was very evident yesterday, where we fought at the very end. And even, you know, that forward pass, which was a forward pass, the timing of that tackle created the forward pass, and it showed the determination and the way the guys were willing to fight to the death to get that result yesterday. A lot of it would have been for Brian O'Driscoll as well. I know that. They won't say that, but and Brian wouldn't want them to. But I think that would have been all in everybody's mind as well.
There was a bit of a nightmare about that forward pass, Eddie, as you know, technically.
Drift.
Yeah, if it leaves the hands and goes straight and then drifts, it's not forward. And Conor O'Shea, who's very good at reading television judges, said, oh, my God, he's going to award it. And that was really touch and go. The French were absolutely outraged about it afterwards.
Yeah, well, I was sitting up in the press area, and I had a pretty good line there, and I thought it was forward from the get-go. But the way they go to these TMOs now, and they call all sorts of angles, and his hands were facing one way and the ball went another, it is very scary, because we've seen tries awarded that shouldn't have been, and that would have been just heartbreaking yesterday, particularly when it was a forward pass.
Yeah, most particularly when it was a forward pass. But you talk about people giving their everything and throwing everything into it, and courage and all of that. Like, if you came down from Mars and looked at that as a spectacle, you would wonder what kind of insanity was going on. And when Johnny Sexton, when they took that picture of him where he looked like he was gone, you think...
He's knocked out, yeah.
Holy...
But the amount of blood, I mean, I've never saw so much blood on the pitch.
Blood everywhere.
And I mean, on players on both sides, I mean... Devin Toner would appear, I'd say he had a broken nose very early on.
He did, yeah.
And then three or four of the French guys were all bloodied off face as
there
well.
There was a moment when Ian Healy was like a human torpedo when he shot across the top of a ruck and hit the French prop and knocked her out. It was just the intensity of the thing. Yet they control their tempers, which is extraordinary. In the old days before television cameras, they didn't control their tempers. You know, there were boots and fists everywhere.
They have so psychological anger management courses, I'd say.
It's really extraordinary. Yeah.
I thought as well, Marion, one of the great tributes to the Irish team and that newfound confidence and ability was the respect that the French showed. I mean, it was obvious in the commentary. They really got up for that game. But also, I read there this morning a lovely line to do with the fact that the two teams wanted Brian O'Driscoll to lead out both teams yesterday. It's in the Sunday Times, in the Dennis Walsh piece, which is quite extraordinary. And I saw Thomas Castagnier, who's a recent, you know, international for France, saying at halftime, you know, when he was asked to explain this incredible performance when they'd been so poor up to now. And he said, well, look, we knew Ireland are the best, so if we didn't turn up today, you know, we would be beaten very badly.
Yeah, flattery gets you everywhere, doesn't it? We'll take it from any direction that we can.
The relationships between these guys are fascinating. I was watching on the programme yesterday when Shane Horgan and Rog were talking to Trimble and so on. And just the relationships between them. Afterwards, the highlight on the bus was cutting Gordon Darcy's beard off, because it had to come off when they won it. And the way they relate to each other. And we live in a world where males have difficulty with making relationships. Mm. And these guys have wonderful relationships. And it goes on for years and years afterwards, and Smith is now like a guru almost, in a sense. The love and affection they have for him, the way in which he analyses, the way in which he's taught them that if they go on the pitch personally and do everything they should do perfectly, if everybody does that, then everything will be perfect.
Right.
And that's all they've got to be concerned about, perfection. I mean, after the extraordinary match against Italy, he said the highlight was Dave Carney cleared out a rock in the 53rd minute. You know, nobody saw that except him. His notions of perfection are fantastic, yeah, and it's got right into their souls.
Right. Can I go back to you, Eddie, on this thing about the level of punishment that those bodies take? Do you...
Well, it's not... Yeah.
Do you ever...
It's no country for all men, you know.
That's your television. Yeah.
And it's getting more... It's just the way the game is developing. It's just the collision sport and professionalism. And the society that is a little bit worrying, but it's what people want. I mean, rugby is growing almost exponentially in the market, sports marketplace. And it's because people appreciate, respect and enjoy that sort of gladiatorial dimension to the game. And the atmosphere in the stadium yesterday at times was just electric. I mean, when both teams were going at it and hammering tongs and there was no quarter asked or given, you know, the hairs are standing on the back of your neck. And that's what people, you know, want to see in sport, is that undying commitment and fellas putting their bodies on the line regardless. I mean, as when Vastro crashed into Sexton yesterday,
oh God,
I mean,
yeah,
there was a weight difference of about, you know, probably 10 kilos at least, and Sexton wasn't backing down no matter what, you know. And I think that's what people love about rugby. That's the endearing beauty of rugby, is the honesty and the endeavour. And as Tom mentioned there, and on the back of all that, the relationships and the respect between the opposition players is extraordinary. There's a great ethos and there's a great ethic in the sport. And I think there's a lot of that's what the public enjoy about rugby is apart from the spectacle of it.
Well, the interesting thing, I think anyway, is that in such I should call it collision sport, that they don't lose their tempers, and that they do play by the rules, and that they do listen to the referee.
If, for example, nobody's allowed to speak to the referee except the captains. The example of, I think, Premiership soccer and its stars' behaviours with the behaviour of rugby is absolutely illustrative.
I think a lot of other sports could learn from rugby refereeing. You saw yesterday in a different match in Scotland and Wales, Stuart Hogg was sent off, and he got a yellow card for a horrendous tackle. And then the pragmatism of the referee to look up at the big screen, look at the replay, realise actually that's a straight red, went back, changed the decision, and that was done. There was no messing, there was common sense, and there's great refereeing.
Right. Well. I mean, that is certainly true, Sinead. I'm sorry, that's Sinead O'Connor, isn't it?
O'Carroll.
Of the journal, .ie. But I think I heard some ref on some occasion where people were stepping out of line.
Nigel.
I think it might have been Nigel.
He's got himself a banner at Thomond Park, which says, "It's not soccer."
Yeah. Yeah, that sort of states it. Anyway, was there a good, were people in good voice last night, Eddie? Were songs sung?
There were many songs sung. I was in the lobby of my hotel about 2 o'clock this morning, and there was renditions of Field Latin Rye and Ireland's Call, and all the usual ones you hear at rugby games. So, yeah, people really enjoyed it. I think the build-up was so good, and a lot of the crowd stayed on after, obviously, for the team doing the lap of honour with the trophy. So it was a fantastic day. I mean, just absolutely unforgettable, you know, really, and just fantastic to have been witness to it. And, the Irish supporters are brilliant when they travel anyway, no matter what the sport is, but the rugby supporters yesterday were fantastic. They certainly partied into the night, and there's some shaking-looking bodies here in the airport this morning. I'm watching people lining up to get their boarding passes. And
Why am I not surprised? Anyway, I presume that they will survive it. And they'll be home, as I say, at 2:30 in Dublin Airport. And Eddie, thanks ever so much indeed for taking the call.
Thank you, Marion.
OK,
bye-bye.
All the best. Bye-bye.